That's definitely not how I expected things to go down. I get that it's been months, but that stings. I should have fucking called, but shit, we didn't exchange numbers. How was I supposed to call her? And what's this about reaching out 3 months ago? That would have been about the time I was in Oregon with Sam, and when I came back, things were crazy around the office. Still, I mean, I guess I deserve it. She did tell me she ran a boutique, and there can't be too many of those in this town. But I've just been so busy and time flies. It didn't seem like calling her after she snuck out that morning was the right thing to do. I thought that's what she wanted. But judging by her reaction, maybe I was wrong. Especially after she said she left a message. I burst into action, chasing after her down the sidewalk. But I lose her somehow in a meandering group of tourists. By the time I get myself untangled from a man totally overdressed and wearing a University of Miami ball cap, I don't see her at all. I look up and down the street, wondering where she went because I need to talk to her. Straighten this out somehow. I can't go on and never see her again on that note. The least I can do is apologize and wish her well, even if I hate the thought of some other lucky fucker being the one who snagged her. He'd better treat her right. That's all I can say. Not knowing where she is, but knowing where she will be, I walk back up the street, the direction Rose was coming from. It takes me about 2 minutes to see it, the sign hitting me between the eyes as I make the connection again. Quickly, I cross the parking lot to the Mountain Rose and step inside. A younger woman with brown curls cascading down her back and a bright smile cheerily greets me.
Hello, welcome to the Mountain Rose. Can I help you find something today?
The girl nods, eager to please. Yes, I've been in town before and met the owner. Will she be in today? The girl nods, eager to please.
Absolutely. Rose just stepped out for a moment to get our lunch.
I nod, directing my gaze to a rack of clothes, although I don't think I'll find anything for me here. Other than a few items in the corner that are more effeminate men's fashion than my style, everything here is obviously meant for women. Great. I think I'll just browse for a bit till she gets back. Thanks so much. The girl hangs nearby, giving me a curious look as I flip through a few hangers.
So, how do you know Rose? I just met her a few weeks ago. Today's my first day, actually.
I grin, realizing that's why she's so enthusiastic to be of service. Newbies. And probably looking to make a good impression. Just old friends. We met a few months ago, and I'm in town for work, so I thought I'd look her up.
A few months? The girl remarks. That's not exactly old friends now, is it?
She laughs at her own joke, and I smile. Well, it's not exactly like we went to kindergarten together, but you know how it is. What's your name? I'm Nick. The quickly introduced Devin and I make some small talk about the town, just buying time. The store's quiet, not much of a lunch rush for places like this, and about 20 minutes later, the boutique door opens. Rose walks in, almost pushed by the light wind that's kicked up to make her hair blow back like gossamer strands of gold around her face, her arms laden with two bags of what smell like the diner's famous, or infamous, depending on whom you ask, gut bomb cheeseburgers. Her smile is bright, and her voice is light as she moves toward the desk and calls out,
"Lunch is here, Devin. If you don't mind, can I eat first? Gotta feed this hungry monster. And then you can take your lunch."
Devin grins as she finishes, pointing toward me.
"Sure, you've got a visitor anyway."
"Huh?" Rose asks, turning. She sees me, and I watch as she ignites, angry all over.
"What are you doing here? Get out."
Devin flinches, worried that she fucked up on her first day at work.
"Oh no, I'm so sorry, Rose. He said he was an old friend."
Rose's flashing eyes don't leave mine, but she answers Devin, giving her a little wave of assurance.
"It's fine, Devin. You couldn't have known."
"Rose, I just want to talk," I say placatingly, softly. I don't want to beg, but right now, I'm just being moved by the same feeling I felt 5 months ago. I have to know what's going on.
Can we sit down while you eat lunch? Or I can come back tonight when you close, if that's better. Rose firmly shakes her head, while out of the corner of my eye I see Devon grab her bag and disappear to the back, probably wishing she were anywhere else right about now.
No, I don't want to talk. Just go. I'm fine.
Being a salesman, my bullshit detector is sharper than most people's, and while Rose is putting up a decent front, my alarm bells are ringing loud and proud. You're obviously not fine. You're mad at me, and I don't know why. What's gotten you so upset? Something flashes across her face. Hurt, maybe? Or regret? And she sighs, shaking her head as she admits defeat.
I can't do this. Not now, and not here.
Where? I ask, stepping closer.
I don't,
Rose says, freezing when I reach out and take her hand gently. Another tingle jumps between our fingers, and I feel like something inside me moves. To hell with the meeting at the resort. This woman's my future. She glances at Devon, who's about half a step from the back room door, and steps back, breaking our contact almost reluctantly.
Fine. Come at 6 tonight and we can talk, but not now.
I see the stubbornness on her face, and even though I want to hash this all out right here and now, I sense that will be counterproductive, so I give in. For now. But this deal's far from done. Thank you. I'll be here at 6. I turn to walk out, but I can't resist and turn back at the door to look at her. Her cheeks are flushed, and her chest lifts with every breath, reminding me of before. Rose, I missed you. Before she can reply, with more than her eyes, I walk out into the chilly air, knowing I've got to get up to the Mountain Spirit Resort anyway. Hopefully, she's ready to talk tonight.
Chapter 11. Rose. As soon as Nick walks out the door, I collapse against the counter, my head and my heart pounding like I just got done slamming down a few bourbons. Oh, my God. Devon gives me a worried look and comes back from over the door. Is there anything I can do? I shake my head, standing up. I'm okay. I just need to call someone. Eat your burger up here. I set my lunch on the counter, forgetting entirely about my earlier hunger pangs, and grab the phone. I punch a couple of buttons and begin to dance around impatiently as it rings. Brad answers quickly. I guess there's a lull at the salon, too. Hey, bitcheroo, what's new? All of my breath leaves in an audible huff, and I collapse into a chair near the door. Brad, I need you. Something happened. He's here. Brad is instantly all business, dropping his lisp, all of his humor evaporating, and I hear the man who, despite all of his protestations to the contrary, could be a great father someday if he wants.
What happened? Are you okay? Is the baby okay?
I'm stumbling over my words, trying to make the swirls in my head into sentences. I'm okay, I reply, and I hear him let out a breath and a long whoosh that makes me tear up. He cares about me so much, and I'm lucky to have him as a friend. Jellybean's okay, but Nick, he's here. I don't know what to do. I trail off and Brad jumps in.
I'm already on my way down the street, honey. Be there in a couple. Sit down, put your feet up, and breathe. We'll figure this out.
I hear the click as he ends the call and sink into the chair behind the front desk. It's only a second later that Brad swoops through the front door, looking like I've never seen him before. Instead of his usual fabulousness, he's wearing a, I swear it looks like a camo military jacket, lending an even more surreal air to the day. Brad surveys me quickly, taking in my pale face and Devon's questioning look. I'm sure she's wondering what else could happen on her first day at work here. Brad approaches her, his hand outstretched.
I'm Brad. You're the new girl.
Devon looks to be in shock, but she nods. I'm Devon.
Nice to meet you, although I wish it was under better circumstances.
He turns to face me, even as he talks to Devon in a brusque tone.
Look, Rose and I need to talk. Can...
She straightens her back, stepping behind the desk and giving us both a reassuring look. I've got this. Don't worry. I smile at her, giving her a pat on the arm. Hell of a first day, huh? I swear it's not usually like this. Devin shrugs and smiles. If this is unusual, I'm just glad I'm here to help. She really is the best helper I think I could find. Keep this up and she's going to find herself with a pay raise before the week's out. Brad shuffles me into my office and plops me onto my chair, dragging another chair to sit in front of me. Okay, start at the beginning. What happened? I give him the rundown, seeing the look of pride he has when I say that I told Nick I wasn't a booty call and could take care of myself. You can, you know. You're doing great with it all. Thanks. You know it's because of you guys, though. Takes a village and all that shit. For sure, but why did Nick find you now? Is he just in town and wanting a repeat of some grade A nookie? I think so. He seemed happy to see me until... I gesture at my belly. He definitely wasn't expecting this. Brad sits back at the news and pops a hand under his chin. All right. So now what? What do you want to do? He needs to know this is his baby, Rose. He may run right back out of town and basically be the sperm donor you thought you were getting in the first place, but at least you'll have given him that respect. I know, I admit. He knocked me for a loop. But he said some things. Anyway, he's coming back tonight at 6 so we can talk. I'll tell him, but then what? What if he wants to be involved? What if he doesn't? And custody, child support. And I don't even know what else because I didn't think he was ever going to show back up. I'm getting hysterical, my hands covering my belly protectively. Brad leans forward and puts his hands over mine, soothing my nerves and making me look up at him with trust and hope. Chill. He's not taking Jelly Bean here. Just hear the man out and go from there. I take a big breath, letting it out slowly. You're right. I can't do anything about it until tonight. No use getting myself worked up. Then I'll tell him everything. See what he says and go from there, I guess. Thanks, Brad. There's still a touch of worry in his eyes, but his demeanor lightens back up, his voice pitching a bit higher. There's my girl, cool, calm, and collected. You've got this, Rose. Right at 6, I flip the sign on the front door to closed. Devin has already gone home with an epic first day at work story that I just hope she doesn't spread all over town. Still, I wanted to make sure, so I let her go at 5, along with my thanks and a smile. I've still got my hand on the sign when the door opens. It's Nick. He's so intense and so handsome, my heart starts speeding up despite myself.
Hi, Rose. Can we talk now?
An ugly fear in my gut makes me want him to go away. Get out of my shop. Run away, you perfect memory who hurt me. I can't and won't be hurt by you again. I feel like pouting, sticking my fingers in my ears and immaturely chanting out, Go away, I don't want to talk to you, la 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 la. Instead, I rally, digging deep for some maturity to act like an adult. Sure, come to the office. We can sit and talk there. I lock the door and he follows me back to my office, settling into one chair while I sit down in the chair across from him. I have a flicker of humor at how my position with Brad earlier has been reversed, and now I have to be the adult one who handles shit. Okay, so, I begin, my voice trailing off as my ability to put together a coherent sentence thoroughly fails me. So much for handling things. Part of it is the subject at hand, but another part is how my brain's whispering to me just how handsome Nick looks. He's dressed nicely, in an open-throated dress shirt, underneath his jacket, and dress slacks that tell me he came directly from a business meeting. That same little voice in me wonders if he cut his meeting short in order to come see me, and if so, it's impressed. Nick smiles and I shiver inside, desperately trying to hang on to my anger. I'm not going to let him off that easily.
Yeah, so,
he says, trying to sound relaxed but still with a slight undercurrent of nervousness that helps me all the more.
Maybe we start at the beginning. You left the morning after.
He clears his throat awkwardly, not sure how to discuss that night.
And then what? How did you end up?
He seems to stumble over his words a bit. I hear the pause in his voice, the unwillingness to come out with the elephant in the room, my obviously fuller belly. I look down at my hands, nervously playing with my fingers. I guess I should tell you that before our night, I'd been looking at starting a donor cycle. I've been wanting a baby for a while. After we had our night, I went to the doctor for a checkup, just to make sure everything was healthy downstairs and my body was ready. Everything was fine, but the blood test showed I was already pregnant. Nick flinches, and I realize I'm walking a minefield here.
Donor cycle? You were trying to get pregnant?
I realize how that sounds and quickly try to reassure him. Yes, but not with you. That night, I'd made the decision to do a donor cycle, ready to be a mother even if I wasn't a wife. That's what I was celebrating the night we met. Nick looks at me sternly, his eyes flaring.
Just to be clear, you were trying to get pregnant, and then somehow did get pregnant the one time we had sex. Is that what you're saying?
I nod, quietly agreeing. Nick, I wasn't trying to use you or trick you. I mean, we did use a condom, but they're not 100%. And while it might not have been intentional, I'm happy this happened.
Did you?
He seems hesitant, but he continues with a deep breath of courage.
Did you tamper with the condom?
The accusation stings. How dare he make it sound like I did this on purpose? I vault to my feet, my voice rising. No, I did nothing of the sort. The condom might have been a little old, but not like it was expired or something. I just don't fuck random guys that often, or ever, as a matter of fact. I see the betrayal in his eyes, feel the anger radiating off him in waves, but I'm still unprepared when he pops the question that's been hanging between us like an elephant in the room.
Are you sure it's mine?
Like a knife right to my heart, he goes for the kill. Like it fucking matters if it's his or not, after basically accusing me of seducing him for his sperm. I grip my teeth together, my eyes narrowing as I get to my feet, pointing toward the door. Get the fuck out! Get out! I dissolve into hysterics, yelling and pushing at him, my arms flailing wildly as I maneuver him toward the front door. Go! Just get out! Nick lifts his hands defensively before turning to walk out the door. There's a pause as he has to twist the lock, not quite the dramatic, rip open the door and walk into the evening darkness maneuver you see on TV. He turns back just before opening it, his anger still flaring in his eyes, but his voice calm and determined.
This isn't over. We're not done talking about this.
He gets the door open and disappears into the night. I hold it together for one more breath, just long enough for him to get out of sight, and then collapse to the floor, my body racked with sobs as I wail. God, I fucked this up so badly.
Chapter 12. Nicholas. I can't help leaving Rose's boutique in a near rage, stomping across the parking lot before hopping in my car and driving back to the Mountain Spirit Resort. Before I know it, I find myself in the hotel bar, ironically, the same hotel bar I first met Rose in. What's your whimsy? The bartender asks. You look familiar. Been here once before. And a double scotch. Glenlivet if you've got it. Neat. I reply in a tone that says very clearly, don't ask. Besides, I seriously doubt he remembers me. Probably something to spark up conversation. The bartender gets my drink and I take a sip, the aged oak burn sliding down my throat and evaporating in my stomach, while my brain swirls, lost in thoughts of what just happened. Rose is pregnant.
Yep, that's pretty much a given.
Pregnant with my baby.
Well, we should still call Maury Povich, but yeah, there's a good chance that you are the father.
How did this happen? You know, when a man and woman love each other very much, they wiggle their bodies together, and that sends a signal to the lands of the storks. I never expected anything like this. I was coming back to town for a work trip again, as always, and thought maybe I could see Rose one more time. Not for a booty call. Though I admit, I wouldn't have complained about a happy ending. We'd had such a hot night, and I've never felt chemistry like that with anyone before. Beyond that, I hadn't really given it much thought until I saw her. Her blonde hair floating out behind her, like there were wind currents flowing by just for the chance to caress her hair. I knew it was her instantly, but all of my joy faltered when I saw her rounded belly. Granted, it didn't cross my mind that the baby she was carrying was mine. The word smacks me right in the brain. And again, I'm lost. Pregnant. My baby. I'm going to be a father, I say to myself out loud. The words seem alien to me. Not that I never wanted to be, but I never expected it to be like this. I press back from the bar, tossing the rest of my scotch to burn down my throat, needing some privacy for the panic attack I'm afraid is coming. Now? Of all the fucking times? I mean, I went through an acre of shit after meeting her the first time, and I've just started to pull myself out of that rut. I virtually stomp to my room, leaning back against the door as it closes. I lift my chin, closing my eyes and talking out loud to the empty room. I don't know how to be a father. I barely feel like I can take care of myself half the fucking time. What am I going to do? I need to talk to someone. Someone will help me get my shit straight, because I'm veering a hard left into uncharted territory. I honestly feel like I just stepped off a bridge intent on base jumping, and now I realize that's not a parachute I'm holding, but an umbrella from the dollar store. Grabbing my phone, I dial Wes. He's one of my only friends, and I'm glad when he answers on the second ring.
Hey, buddy, you already get the contract approved and signed? Damn, I figured it'd take you until at least tomorrow. You're a beast, man.
It takes him a moment to realize that I'm silent. Just breaths coming through the line. Contract? Shit, of all the things to think about. I've got more obligations now, and I don't know how the fuck to balance it all. I take a deep breath, calming myself. Wes speaks up again, his voice more subdued and concerned.
Hey, Nicholas? You there, man? Everything okay?
I let out a shaky breath, running a hand through my hair as I feel my throat constrict while I try to fight back the tsunami of feelings inside.
Wes, she's pregnant.
There's a stunned silence on the other end, and when Wes answers, I can hear the confusion in his voice.
Huh? Who's pregnant?
Pulling myself together with sheer will, I try to get it all out. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get through this again for a while.
Rose, she's the woman here that I met last time. Remember when I told you about her?
I saw her today, and she's pregnant. Wes hums soothingly, supportively, as he lets the news hit him.
Okay, she's pregnant. First things first, I guess. Is it yours?
I clear my throat, trying to get the words out.
It's mine. Yeah, it's mine.
Saying it out loud to another person makes it feel a little more real somehow. There's no running, no hiding, although I'm not sure that's even what I want to do. I'm just shaken, surprised at the turn of events I never saw coming. Wes has always been the rational, proactive side of our yin-yang. That's what makes our business so successful, and I'm reminded why I appreciate him when he automatically goes into planning mode. Instead of offering congratulations or condolences, his mind just shifts into, well, now what, mode.
Okay, so it's your baby. What do you want? What does she want? And are they the same thing?
All very good questions. I can almost imagine him scribbling them down on the legal pad he keeps next to his laptop for brainstorming ideas. But I have no idea of the answers. I don't know. She got mad and kicked me out. Wes's voice raises a notch in surprise or anger, I'm not sure.
Why would she do that?
I kinda fucked up. Long story short, I asked if she sabotaged the condom, and I asked the same thing you did if the baby is mine. Wes sighs loudly, and I can picture him pinching his nose between his fingers like he always does when he's exasperated.
Fair questions, given the circumstances, if you ask me. But maybe not the best phrasing.
I mean, this isn't like asking if a customer intentionally fucked up something on a shipment.
I know, I reply, starting to feel slightly calmer. I was just surprised and confused and wasn't thinking before I spoke. Holy shit, man. I'm going to be a father.
Wes's voice calms me as he continues. Okay, back to the original questions. What do you want, and does she want the same thing? Do you want to be involved? You've always been a man on the move, nomadic and chasing after the next new thing. This could change your life. Or not.
I try to imagine myself traveling for work every week, going from place to place, all while Rose would be here creating a home for our baby.
Our baby, who wouldn't even know me. Imagining myself as the guy who comes through every once in a while with presents from afar, t-shirts from Tacoma and bumper stickers from Brooklyn or something, begging for awkward hugs, only to run off again. The image makes me sick. I try to imagine an alternative, one where I'm holding a little blonde baby girl, sitting in the grassy yard with her as we wait for Rose to come home from work. Wow, that sounds idyllic. I'm not sure I'm set up to stay here all the time. What would it mean for me and my career? Besides, am I ready for that sort of life? The same day on repeat, like it's that Groundhog Day movie I've watched on reruns late at night? Reruns, about a day on repeat. The irony there makes me huff a bit, considering my life.
Wes, I'll do the contract while I'm here, I finally say. But I'm going to need some time. Check in with my assistant about my upcoming visits for the next few weeks and see who you can get to cover them. Also, Rose insisted that she tried to get in contact with me about 3 months ago, but I never got anything. I know that was right about the time we were busy as hell and having a few IT issues, but still, that was an important fucking message. If you need me, give me a call. But I need to stay in town here. I hope you can understand.
Sure thing, Nicholas. Let me know if you need anything, and I'll take care of things here. And man, good luck. It sounds like you're gonna need it.
I appreciate that. And thanks for not saying it.
Contract first, then Rose. Don't worry, I'll get that handled quickly, and then see what's here and how this is gonna work.
Wes makes a sound that I swear sounds like a cheer.
All right, Nick, get your personal stuff settled, and then we'll talk.
Talk? I ask. About what?
Wes sighs. I know he doesn't want to bring this up right now. Nick, you're my boy, and I understand that family comes first, but we need you. Hell, I need you to keep us growing and selling. I'll do what I can to rearrange everything for the short term, but long term, we might need to revamp your role if you want the chance to be a father, if that's your plan. Some food for thought. Good luck, man. It sounds like you're gonna need it.
I hang up the phone, a new fear settling in my heart after the feeling wears off.
How in the fuck is this gonna work? I can't go and leave my baby. I don't even know if she wants me to stay. But I know that's my baby in her belly. And I can't imagine being an asshole who never knew his child.
Chapter 13. Rose. After my wild and crazy fit last night, Nick is the last person I expect to see in the shop today. What I really want is to finish up the day's work, flip the sign on the door, and hide in a nest of comfy blankets and eat ice cream with pretzels. At least my weird cravings have settled a bit, the desire for salty pickles at least giving way to pretzels, which seems a bit more normal with the sweet, creamy ice cream. But right at 6 as I go to turn the sign over, here he is again. Nick walks in like he's stepping on eggshells, visibly making himself smaller and less threatening somehow. And I can't decide if I like that he's deferring to me somewhat, or if I hate it because that's not who he really is. Crossing my arms over my chest, I stare him down. No way am I letting him off the hook after the bullshit he tried to pull last night. What? Nick looks at me calmly, no sign of the fight we had, his voice even.
Can we talk, Rose? Not like yesterday. We need to have a real conversation.
I know he's right. If nothing else, we need to do this so that we can move forward and he can move on, if he's doing what I expect. Fine, Come on. Just like last night, we walk to the back room. I settle into my chair and Nick grabs the same chair he used last night and flips it around, straddling it as he faces me. Probably a bad omen, but we need to just get this done. He looks at me for a moment, like he's gathering his thoughts.
First, I want to apologize. I didn't intend to sound so mean last night. I was just in shock, I guess.
I nod, wanting to get this over with. If he's here to say he doesn't want any part of things, then I can deal with it. But I don't want to drag the whole fucking thing out. Fine. Just so we're clear, I didn't do anything to the condom, and I'm sure it's yours because you're the only guy I've slept with in... I pause, chastising myself for not just stopping at, it's yours. Jeez, what a way to sound like a desperate baby-making wench. Let's just say it had been a while. Nick nods, giving me a hint of that same amused smirk that made me want to fuck him 3 times in one night.
I know. I mean, I figured. It had been a while for me, too. Work. I love it, but I hate it.
There's a tender note in the room as we both let that sink in. Somehow, in this weird roll of the dice that is the universe, two people who were running long dry streaks met, clicked, and in a single, torrid night of passion that obviously made a memory for both of us, we kindled the life that's now growing inside my belly. I continue, setting aside the philosophy lesson for later. And contrary to what you seem to think, I'm not some conniving shrew who wanted to lock you down. That's why I left you alone. You didn't ask for this then, and I don't need you now. Nick's voice is gravel, his eyes going flinty as he figures out his reply.
Why didn't you at least tell me? I would have liked to be given the choice.
I shrug, not knowing exactly how to explain it all. I did call. In fact, it took a little work to track you down. I found your number, called your office to speak with you, and left a very precise message with your conscientious-sounding assistant. She said you were out of state, but she'd give you the message. I didn't hear from you, so I figured you didn't want anything to do with me. Nick shakes his head, looking up at the ceiling.
I swear I never got a message. I did go out of town. Well, I'm always out of town, actually, but I went off-grid for a few weeks. I got back and had tons of messages, but nothing from you. There were some IT problems at the time. Things might have gotten lost.
I fall off my high horse a bit, the honesty in his voice telling me he's not just giving me a line of shit to try and assuage my feelings. You didn't get my message. You didn't just ditch me as a random one-night stand in a place you never planned to visit again? Nick leans forward, taking my hands in his and looking into my eyes.
Rose, that night we shared was amazing. When you were gone the next morning with barely a thank you note, I just figured it was a one-night stand that would never be topped. And when I never heard anything, it just confirmed it. I've spent the past 5 months trying to get you out of my mind, and I haven't been able to. I did come here for work, but I was hoping to see you again.
I smile, a little bit of ice around my heart melting. It was hard making that call. Really, you didn't want this, so I'm not going to be angry. I didn't ask you to get me pregnant. If you're out, it's okay, no hard feelings. Nick smiles back at me, a dimple popping deep into his cheek.
You're pregnant. With our baby.
Yep, that's how it works. Unless it's an immaculate conception. He squats down so fast I think he's going to fall to his knees, and I worry for a second before he smiles more, bringing his face close to my tiny baby bump.
My baby.
Sitting back on his haunches, a huge smile breaks across his face as he shakes his head, looking up at me with an innocent wonder that makes him look not only handsome and sexy, but young, too, like some impossible figure who's wise and youthful at the same time.
I have no idea what to do, what to say, what to think, but I want to figure it out. Together.
I smile back, wanting to reach out and take his hand, but I stop myself. We're not there yet. That sounds great, Nick. Because we don't even really know each other. We're about to be parents, and I don't know you. Nick hums and nods.
All right. So we may be doing this backward, but I want to know you. You're going to be the mother of my child, after all. So, Rose, how about some dinner?
I laugh a little. This is just so damn ridiculous that it's the only reaction I can have.
You mean like a date?
He nods, reaching forward and taking my hand, another little spark jumping between us as he does.
No, not like a date. A date. That's what people usually do, right? So let's date. Get to know one another.
It's a little crazy, and he's right. We are doing this backward. But it sounds like the best idea I've ever heard in this moment. Okay, Nick, let's go. But it's gonna have to be a pretty awesome one. My last date ended up pretty incredible.
Chapter 14. Nicholas. When Rose says yes to the date, my heart soars, at the same time my stomach plunges. I literally have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know where to take a date in this town besides a hotel bar that we've already been to. This is probably going to end in disaster, but I have to at least try to get to know her as best I can and figure out how this might work. She looks beautiful in her dressy but casual clothes as I pick her up in my SUV at her shop. I get out, coming around to escort her to the passenger side, ignoring the man in a pink tie, giving me the stink eye as he watches from down the street. He's tall and lean, but apparently being held back by an even taller, broad-muscled guy who is physically blocking him from moving, although the block seems rather intimate even from here. It's a funny sight, but I don't dare laugh, bringing my attention back to Rose. You look beautiful.
Thanks, Rose says, blushing lightly in the evening chill. Nice car.
It's a rental. Who's the welcoming committee? I ask as I come around and get in. The guy in the tie looks like he wants to slice and dice me a bit.
Nah, Rose says with an amused smile. That's Brad. He's basically my best friend, and has spent quite a bit of the last few months looking out for me. The other guy's his boyfriend, Trey. They're good people.
I can dig that. Although my flash of jealousy when she said Brad was her best friend and had been taking care of her is a bit of a surprise. I'm not usually jealous to begin with, but the momentary twinge was mitigated by the follow-up that Brad has a boyfriend. At least there hasn't been another guy coming in to take care of my girl romantically.
My girl? Shit.
We settle into my SUV, and I follow her directions to a small Italian restaurant just off the main drag toward downtown. Walking in, the smell of garlic and tomatoes is overwhelming, but in a homey mom-cooked dinner sort of way.
One of the little secrets around town, she says, seeing my eyes light up.
I nod, taking off my jacket and handing it to the staff member who hangs it up.
Smells good. Must be a good choice.
Rose grins, nodding as the hostess leads us to the dining room.
You have no idea. Their pasta primavera is my favorite food, and for months, I couldn't even think about it without getting sick, much less eat even a bite of it. I'm so glad I can indulge again.
It's an offhand comment, but I realize that she's had this whole experience so far without me, alone with our baby. The good and the bad. It makes me feel like a total asshole for blowing up at her that first night, or worrying about my damn job. I tell myself that regardless of what happens between me and Rose, I'm not going to leave her hanging again.
Well, let's make sure we make up for it tonight, I ask, and Rose gives me a smile that makes my cock twitch in my pants.
Down, boy. Fuck. We sit, ordering drinks immediately, and a silence descends over the table as we both nervously sip our sparkling waters. We're not right back where we were that first night, but I think we can both sense we could be. And that's scary as fuck with the amount of water that's gone under the bridge the past 5 months. Clearing my throat, I decide to take the plunge.
So? Tell me about the pregnancy. About the baby? I have no idea where to start.
Rose smiles, relaxing.
I'm about 20 weeks along, about halfway there. Everything is going well. My morning sickness is gone, and I'm feeling good. Jelly Bean, as we call the baby right now, is totally on track. The heartbeat always sounds good. I haven't felt movement yet, but hopefully soon. And my next appointment is a sonogram.
It's a mouthful, and I try to take it all in. Let the reality sink in. But there's still a sense of shock. I mean, it's probably a shock to most men. But to get that shock plus 20 weeks, maybe I should have a designated driver so I could indulge in something harder than the water I guzzle as I try to process. Wow, that all sounds great. Jelly bean? I watch as her cheeks flush, an adorable shyness coming over her. God, she's fucking sexy. And, in my mind, I can't keep thoughts of that night from coming back. Thankfully, Rose doesn't notice. This isn't the time.
Yeah, that's just what I call the baby because I don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet.
My eyes widen. That's a milestone I haven't missed.
When do you find out?
Her eyes drift off into space for a second, and I can see her mentally counting.
Probably in 4 days at my next appointment on Friday. Do you want to go with me?
There's a hopefulness in her eyes that pierces my soul. And while the fear inside me makes me want to run and pretend none of this is happening, I know that I need to grow the fuck up. Besides, there's another part of me that is ready to say yes, just to see her beautiful smile again. Of course, I want to go, I say, reaching across the small table and taking her hand. I'd love to see Jelly Bean. I can see the relief cross her face.
Great, I'll send you the address and we can meet there.
One thing?
What's that?
Rose asks warily. I'd like it if the baby's name doesn't end up being Jelly Bean after birth, I say, smiling. Rose laughs, nodding. Feeling like we've reached a tipping point on pregnancy talk for the moment, I try to direct the conversation to something more neutral. Ironically, something more along the lines of first date talk, since really that's what this is.
How's business going?
I guess the store is doing well if you've hired help. I remember before you were saying you worked the boutique by yourself.
Rose lights up, grinning. Yes, business is booming. And this year's ski season is looking to be the biggest yet. Devon was a good choice, and I think by the time I really need to take things easy, she'll be ready to run things on her own, with just a few check-ins each day. Speaking of work, isn't that what brought you back here?
I nod, wishing I could say I'd come back for her. But I know if there's any chance of healing the inadvertent wounds of the past 5 months, honesty is the best policy. It is. But I'd like to say fate played a part in it, too. The deal with the mountain spirit fell through when I was here last, but a week ago they called us back and wanted to give us another shot. So I'm here to make the arrangements. The ideas we discussed that night were a great help in making our offer more appealing. Not sure I ever really thanked you for that, so thank you. Rose dips her head in acknowledgement and says lightly,
"So glad I could be helpful. Guess that business degree paid off."
I hum, sipping my water. The waiter comes by, and we place appetizer orders, garlic toast and calamari. After he leaves, we continue.
"Where did you go to school?"
I ask.
"How did you end up here?"
Rose smiles, something that I'm finding I like more and more with every passing second.
"I grew up in a small town up north. The quintessential tomboy with scraped knees, who spent most of my time in the woods, hanging out in the trees I climbed, reading comic books and skipping rocks."
I'm struck at how much a parallel our childhoods were, and my eyes widen slightly.
Sounds idyllic. What pulled you into running a boutique? When my teen years hit, they were kind to me, and I discovered the fun of clothes, dressing up and all that. My town mostly had folks who dressed for function, and fancy clothes weren't really understood. Standard first date clothes for most people when I was in high school were just your cleanest pair of jeans. My love of dressing up made me an oddball. So I escaped with magazines, envisioning a different life than my small town could provide.
I try to imagine the beauty across from me as a little girl, dirt smudged across her face from climbing trees, and it's surprisingly easy to do. The image morphs into a teen girl next door type, in fancy finery, with a town full of jeans and work boot types, and I can see how that would feel isolating. I remember how it felt being the guy who wasn't into the typical high school sports, who'd rather go rock climbing than carry the rock downfield for the football team. So what did you do? How'd you go from home to here? I ask, as again, that sense of fate seems to whisper in my ear. Rose shrugs her shoulders and points toward the window.
School, more or less. I worked my ass off and was valedictorian of my class. Universities give scholarships to valedictorians, even if the high school is tiny, so I was able to go to my choice. And the state school, just to the south of here, has a good business program. I double majored in business and fashion merchandising, figuring out that I liked the business and marketing side better than the designing. I'll let you in on a secret. Well, I can sew. I can't draw to save my life. All of my attempts at designing look like stick figures scrawled in Crayola.
I grin. Most models look like stick figures anyway, but go on.
As part of my degree, we had to write a business plan, and mine was the Mountain Rose Boutique. I'd researched towns all over the state, and at the time, Great Falls wasn't so great. But I knew it would be because there were proposals for the resort to come in as a boom for the economy and tourism. That business plan was good enough to get me an A, but more importantly, good enough to get me a small business loan when I graduated. As soon as I graduated, I moved and opened Mountain Rose, and it's been hard but rewarding ever since. The boutique has been my everything for a lot of years now, but I'm ready for something more.
She smiles at me, absently rubbing her tiny bump. And in my mind, I wonder how much of that more I can be involved in. Before I can interrupt, she asks,
"So that's basically my life story. How about you?"
I laugh a little, suddenly feeling self-conscious. This feels like Life Stories 101. She laughs back, pausing while our appetizers come.
"Well, first date basics at least. What you got, Nick?"
I pause, trying to figure out where to start. "Well, my mom and dad were great, always traveling or planning our next trip. If there was a 3-day weekend, we were loading up in the RV to go somewhere. We had our favorite spot, a national park a few hours from home, where we'd hike, swim, and just commune with the trees, as my mom always said. I always thought she was perhaps born a little too late. She'd have made a great back-to-nature hippie."
"Sounds very left coast," Rose says, and I nod.
"That's Mom. In the summer, we'd load up and be gone for all 12 weeks. By the time I graduated high school, I'd been to every state in the U.S., even Hawaii, although we had to fly there, obviously. Too bad Dad really wanted to make a go of sailing it, until Mom pointed out that a storm on Lake Sherman is nothing like a storm on the Pacific Ocean. But they brought me up loving everything to do with the outdoors, and I always pictured myself doing something like that. But when I was 18, they were adamant that I go to college, finish my education. I ended up doing an internship and met Wes, my boss, at Adrenaline Sports. He was still a bit of an upstart then, but even during the internship, we clicked, so he offered me a full-time job as soon as I graduated. It seemed like the best of both worlds. I could be outdoors, travel, and see the states, meet people, and get paid to do it. Surprisingly, I was even good at it. Now Wes is like an older brother slash best friend to me, and I've been the VP of sales for several years now. Rose grins, and I'm momentarily distracted as she dips a bit of calamari in marinara sauce and wraps her lush, sensual lips around it before speaking. When she does speak, I have to listen carefully because a lot of blood's left my brain to run down to my cock again, and I can barely pay attention.
"What about your parents? Do they still travel?"
I grin, nodding. "You won't believe this, but they travel all the time. After I was done with college and they knew I wasn't coming home, they sold the house and upgraded the RV, and they live on the road full time now. Dad's invested well, and he and Mom have jobs that allow them to work online most of the year. We talk every week, and they're in a new place every time, having a blast. They even have this little sticker map of the U.S. on the back of the RV that they fill in with tick marks every time they go through that state again." Rose laughs, her beautiful blue eyes sparkling in the candlelight from the table.
That's amazing. That seems like such an adventure.
We talk some more, and before I know it, we've worked our way through pasta, bread, and a delicious tiramisu. The whole time laughing and talking, our connection from before just as freaky, deep, and profound. I pay the bill and help Rose on with her coat, feeling warm enough inside that I pull mine on with great reluctance. Walking outside, Rose jokingly complains as she rests her hands on her belly.
Oh my gosh, why'd you let me have so much food? You're going to have to roll me out of here, or get a forklift.
I smile back, looking over her curvy frame, not seeing a single flaw. You look fine to me. In fact, you're beautiful. But if you need a hand, I could carry you to the car. Rose groans, but blushes at my compliment.
Definitely not. You'd probably break your back.
She's such a tiny thing that, even with a few pounds of baby weight, I easily swoop her up, one arm below her knees, and the other wrapped around her upper back.
Upsy-daisy!
Rose squeals in terror and delight, grabbing my neck tightly.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Without a single complaint, I start off across the parking lot toward my SUV, looking half ahead and half in her eyes. You're busy growing our baby. The least I can do is feed you, tell you you're pretty, and carry you home. Well, more to the car. She laughs, settling in my arms as she relaxes her grip around my neck enough that I'm not being half-choked the whole time. I place her gently in the front seat, reaching the seatbelt across her. I can feel her breath on my cheek, and when I turn to her, I can only think of kissing her. But I want this night to be storybook. And in storybooks, the kiss happens at the end of the night. The drive to her house is full of easy banter, both of us comfortable after an evening of sharing, and she tells me the address quickly, again giving me directions. Pulling up to her house, I open the passenger door and walk her onto the dark porch. It's a trim little house, what my mother would call a gingerbread house, and with the light frame of frost on the windows, it certainly lives up to that name.
Well, here we are.
Rose looks up at me from under thick lashes, and I can see the conflict inside her before she can even say anything.
Nick, thank you for a lovely date. Contrary to before, I don't usually move too fast.
I interrupt her, knowing she's trying to tell me not to expect anything, and place a hand on her shoulder, stroking down to take her hand, where I can feel her pulse racing like a baby bird's.
Rose, it's fine.
It is a first date, after all. I wink at her, and she relaxes but doesn't let go of my hand at all. But maybe just a goodnight kiss? I see her bite her bottom lip, and it makes me want to be the one to nibble the pink fullness. And when she nods slightly, I go for it, leaning in as I pull her close. I cover her mouth with my own, gently taking her. Her lush body presses against mine, and again, that feeling of fate throbs in the air. I bring my hands up to her cheeks, holding her to me as our kiss deepens, and I probe her lips with the tip of my tongue. Her lips part slightly on a breathy sigh, and I slip my tongue to caress hers. She tastes me back, and soon, my body is crushed against hers, my cock throbbing in my pants, and my heart hammering in my chest.
Rose,
I murmur, as I feel her arms wrap around my waist, pulling me flush with her body, her bump pressing against me. Unexpectedly, the thought of her round with my child makes me even hotter, a streak of masculine alpha pride racing through me. The kiss explodes, and I reach up, cupping a breast through her jacket, stroking gently. Our hands begin rubbing and squeezing along our bodies, our moans of passion getting louder, tongues licking and mouths sucking along warm, delicate flesh. I reach down, squeezing her ass and grinding against her, a low groan sounding deep in my throat. The deep vibration seems to wake Rose up from the spell we're both under, and she pulls back.
Nick, wait, wait, we can't.
She's right, and I let go, releasing her enough to take a half step back.
I take a big breath, exhaling slowly, and bend down to rest my forehead against hers. You're right. I should go. Rose, I want this to be more than one night. Can I see you again? Tomorrow? Rose shakes her head, and it feels like a punch in my belly as she replies, I can't. I have a new shipment coming in tomorrow. Devin and I will be busy for a couple of days getting it all processed and displayed. But Friday, we can go to the doctor? I meet her eyes. The desire is naked in mine as it is in hers, and I smile. Friday? That gives me a few days to get things settled with the resort, and I think this time, the manager I'm meeting with up there, Gavin Adams, will be an easy meeting. Oh, I want Rose. I definitely want. I'll see you Friday.
Chapter 15. Rose. My fingers are aching and my lower back isn't far behind as the clock creeps past 3:30 Friday afternoon. It feels like it's been the longest few days of my life. I'm sure I pulled some longer days in college. I was an expert at all-nighters, but I know I'm more exhausted now than I was when I was cramming marketing theory at 2 in the morning. Part of it has been a mini business boom. In addition to the new product and restocking, the shop has been crazy busy with customers, and Devin and I have stayed after hours every night to get the new items out on the floor. I don't know what caused the boom, but it's been great for the bottom line. One of the spring dresses I'd bought an entire rack of completely sold out already, and I even had to rush order a few more to keep up with demand. The Etsy dealer must be doing backflips themselves, or shitting themselves trying to keep up with my demand. But for now, we're finally done. I glance over at Devin, who's looking just as exhausted as me. Devin, thank you so much. I don't know how I would have done this without you. You're a lifesaver. She smiles back, her chin lifting proudly as she surveys the shop and all our hard work. No problem, Rose. I'm happy to help. And I appreciate your teaching me so much. I know unpacking and hanging clothes isn't exactly fun and games, but you're telling me about how you choose what to order and the quantities helps me understand the whole process better. I snicker, smirking back at her. I love how you make my rambling about business stuff that only interests me sound like something you actually enjoy. Thanks for indulging an old lady. Devin bursts out in giggles, shaking her long, dark locks. Old lady, you make it sound like you're ancient. You're a few years older than me, and I'm 22. I half close my eyes, nodding sagely while putting on a false philosophical accent. Ah, but it is the wisdom and life in those few years' difference that change everything. She rolls her eyes, heading for the back room where I know we've both got water bottles stashed. All right, Dr. Philetta. You'd better get out of here before you're late for your prenatal appointment. Or did you forget about it? I can't help but bounce up and down a little bit, despite my aching lower back. Of course I didn't forget. It's sonogram day, and I get to find out if Jellybean is a boy or a girl. I really hope it's a girl, or Brad is going to be so pissed. He already bought pink booties with humongous bows on them, and a onesie with a tutu attached. Can you believe that? A tutu. I guess I'm just thankful he hasn't bought a tiara yet. Well, at least not one for the baby, but between you and me, I'm certain he has one for his own use. Devin snickers. He definitely has at least one. And don't tell him that I snitched, but he already bought a headband with a big tiara printed on it, complete with blingy rhinestones. I laugh, waving it off. I can definitely believe that. Giving her a quick hug, I grab my purse and head out to my appointment. I'm supposed to meet Nick there, even though he offered to pick me up. With the way I've started feeling every time I see he sent me a text, I wasn't sure I wouldn't detour the car straight back to my house for a quickie before the appointment. As much as I want him, I don't want to jump the gun. Speaking of texts, I check my phone to make sure he hasn't sent anything while I was working today. It's another habit I've gotten into, just sneaking my phone out for a moment to see if he sent me anything. In some ways, I feel like a teenager again. Nope, nothing new since his simple confirmation of the appointment he sent me this morning. But I see the few texts we sent last night, full of double entendres and dirty talk. I swear that man can get me off when he's not even in the same room. Actually, that was literally the case last night, because after we signed off for the night, I had to finish what we started, rubbing myself until I yelled out his name. Shutting off the phone for the drive, I soon pull into the doctor's office lot and see Nick waiting outside. He looks handsome.